This is Primetime on KTEP, a program that focuses on economic development, mobility, security, and quality of life issues in El Paso and surrounding areas.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of El Paso Primetime. I'm Richard Dayoub, Thunderbird Management Consulting, and as a part of our series that we just launched with our members, new members of City Council, and our new mayor, we have with us this afternoon Ms. Alejandra Chavez, who is a city representative for District 1 and our mayor pro tem. Welcome to the show, Alejandra.
Thank you, Richard. What a pleasure to be here today. I wish people could see how much I'm smiling to be here with you today.
Well, and I wish they could too, because most people don't attach the word smiling with Richard Dayoub. It's great to have you here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
We've gotten to know each other quite well over the last several months, and that's to my great benefit. So thank you for accepting the invitation to be on the show. And we have so much to cover in this very brief 30 minutes. It just goes by so quickly. So for the benefit of our audience, some of whom may live in your district but have not voted,
yes,
or throughout the community since you're mayor pro tem, who don't know very much about you, would you share with us in your own words your background, your professional background?
Thank you, Richard. So I am a native from El Paso. I wasn't born here, but I moved here when I was 3 years old. I was born in Houston, Texas. I attended Loreto Academy for 12 years of my life, so I'm a graduate from Loreto Academy. I then went on to study at the University of Texas at Austin, my degrees in corporate communications, as well as my minor in business administration. And after that, I worked in corporate America for a short amount of time. And then I decided to realize my dream of becoming a chef and instinctively just moved to Italy for a year and attended two different culinary schools there. So I do have my master's degree in culinary arts, and it was a great time in my life to experience that. When I returned to El Paso, I started cooking from home like most people do. And then I got my first small business administration loan and opened a very, very small restaurant with only four tables and did catering out of that kitchen as well. After that, I expanded, got a second SBA loan, and moved into a bigger location on North Mesa Street to a 140-seat restaurant. And I had the pleasure of serving the El Paso community through that restaurant for 20 years of my life. In July of 2023, I decided to exit that business when I had an opportunity from a local customer to purchase the business. And I sold it. And I was very blessed to have served my community for that long.
So that's quite a compliment that a customer, a client of yours, thought so highly of the organization that they wanted to buy it. So you didn't mention the name of the restaurant.
Thai Matters on North Mesa Street.
Thank
you,
Richard. That's what I was trying to get you to do.
Thank you.
Okay, and then there's something else you need to mention on a personal level, like your incredible husband and your incredible father and your incredible children.
Yes. So I started my business, and like you just mentioned, I grew up in a very loving home with two wonderful parents. My father has been a physician in our community for over 40 years as well. He's a nephrologist and an internal medicine physician, and I really learned from both of them what service really looks like. I'm married and I have three kids. I have a 14-year-old daughter, a 12-year-old daughter, and a 10-year-old son. Very blessed.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. The next question seems to me like an automatic. Why did you decide to run for public office?
So when I had the opportunity to exit my business, I knew it was the right business decision to make. And shortly thereafter, I realized how much I just missed connecting with my community. And it just came to my attention that there was possibly an opportunity to run for public office. Instinctively, I thought that wasn't the route I wanted to go, just because I had just, you know, come out from, just finished serving my community for 20 years, working weekends and nights and holidays, and owning and operating a restaurant is a lot of work. And I didn't know that I wanted to run for public office because I knew that was also going to be very demanding. And so I thought I didn't want to do it at first, but then I prayed about it. I talked to my family about it. And shortly thereafter, I decided that I wanted to continue to serve my community in a different capacity. I just love El Paso so much, and I really want to continue to serve my community.
Great. So I didn't ask you this before we went on the air, but just having a little fun with you. You
yes.
don't have to answer the question. Which career is more demanding of your time? Was it the restaurant or city council?
Well, I'm just 2 months into city council, but I would say they're demanding in different ways.
Very diplomatic of you.
Yeah.
You must be a politician.
Well, you know, it's very funny that you say that because I don't define myself yet as a politician. I know that technically I am. I ran for office and I did get elected. And so I am by definition a politician. I just don't know if I identify as one yet.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
I think most people choose to say that. And our mayor, our new mayor, has said I'm not a politician.
Right.
And the trick is doing the job for an extended period of time without actually becoming one, whatever people's definition of a politician is, because the definition obviously varies, right? Both from the individual who serves as a constituent, who probably has a different opinion than the person who's actually serving in the office. But that's a little too lofty a conversation for today. So thank you for answering that question and for being so lighthearted about my questions to you. What are your top priorities for your district? And for that matter, as Mayor Pro Tem, for the city at large during your first term?
Well, for me, during the campaign, I had the opportunity to knock on thousands of doors and walk all of the streets in District 1, not once, twice, but almost three times entirely. And it was such a privilege to get to know people face-to-face at their front doors and learn firsthand from them what their concerns were. So there are some needs that are citywide. I think the biggest concern overall are property taxes, the amount of taxes people pay. And then, of course, streets are, you know, the second priority for people in terms of making sure that they're maintained and, you know, that all the issues with that is fixed, including traffic flow problems. But aside from those specific needs within the district, you know, there are others that are very concerning in terms of safety. So, for example, in District 1, there is a neighborhood on the other side of Trans Mountain that has a connection that they've been waiting for a few years now. And there is money allocated for that connection project from a bond that was passed in 2022. But that project just hasn't been completed, and it's barely in the process of getting started. So making sure that connection gets done is a priority for me. And that's called the Wrestler Connect project that's close to Trans Mountain.
Yeah, I'm
that
very
connects
well aware
Enchanted
of that
Hills.
One, from having attended all of your community meetings.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, it's a big deal, and it's a safety concern, and it's a quality of life concern. So that's definitely like top priority for me.
Thank you. So you've been on council, as we discussed, roughly a little over 60 days. And I've asked this question of other members of council as well. So I'm trying to be as even-handed on this as I possibly can. How would you describe your experience over these 60-plus days as a new member of city council, on a council, by the way, that is mostly new, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, it's been completely energizing to go to City Hall every day. I love what I'm doing right now. I love the opportunity that lays before me. I think that people at City Hall right now feel, you know, just an injection of energy that wasn't there before. And there really is a spirit of collaboration right now. We're happy to see each other. We want to speak to one another in a polite and diplomatic way. And we're very respectful, which I think is so important. And we want to work together as city council so that we really move our city forward, which I think is on all of our agenda in terms of economic development and other big projects we have.
So as one of your constituents, I'm going to affirm what you just said. It is critically important that, and by the way, not only am I observing this, but everyone with whom I speak has shared the same exact opinion, which is the energy that exists on this new council. They not only love it, but they're hoping that it will continue, that it won't wear out with time. And by the way, as another observation, and I haven't had her on yet, because I wanted to give her a chance to settle into her role. I'm speaking of Dionne Mack. I noticed, and I've said this to her personally, that at the staff level, the energy is very positive at the city as well. I don't think that's coincidental. I think that's happening for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is we have this dynamic with council you just described, which is rubbing off on city staff and vice versa. And that's a very positive environment to be in. So thank you for sharing those thoughts with us. How does the experience now that you're having compare with what your expectations may have been when you first got elected and you were getting ready, because you got elected in November?
Yes.
And then there was a sprint to get everybody seated in early January. So I'm just curious, what
there's,
kind of
there's
thoughts
two
are going
things
through?
That come to mind, Richard. And you're right, you are my constituent. So this conversation means a lot more to you, maybe. And I just think there's two things that are important. The first is what's going on at the federal level. So we don't have a lot of purview on those decisions, right? We don't make those decisions. But it does affect us in terms of, you know, just the feeling that people have of the direction things are going or not going, depending on where they stand. And I think it's important just that we make sure that constituents know that we represent them and we're here to advocate for them on a local level. And there's a lot of things locally that we can achieve so long as we collaborate with one another. The next thing I want to mention is this idea of working in government. So I've never worked in government before, right? So just the speed of the way things get done is different than in my experience as an entrepreneur. And so I just have to be a little patient with that because there's a process for everything and I'm still learning that process. And it's very helpful to know what the process is, but I also wish that some things could get done faster. And the question I ask myself is, when do you know that you've really created any impact, right? Because things take time. And so it's not like when you're an entrepreneur, you make a decision, you make a change, and then you see a result. It's not that quick in government. And so I'm being patient, but I also ask others to be patient with us as we navigate this.
I'm so glad you touched on that. And if our audience could see us, we're both smiling as we're having this conversation. And I can assure you, most of our listening audience can identify with your expression about things take a little longer when you're dealing with government.
Yes.
But on a positive note, we're much quicker than if you're dealing with the federal government.
See, yes, so. And there have been some things that I would like to highlight that we have been able to get done.
Please.
There have been many constituents that have reached out to us. I'll give you one quick example. We got an email from a constituent saying his son plays basketball at a park in their neighborhood. Unfortunately, that park does not have any light, so they can't play basketball or enjoy the park amenities after dark. And in the wintertime, it's a problem because it gets dark so early, and in the summertime, you can't enjoy the park because it's so hot during the day that you have to wait till it gets dark. And so we were able to allocate funds to our discretionary account, and we are installing two lights at that park within the next 3 months, so that people in that neighborhood and others can enjoy the amenities at that park. And I just think that's just one example of things that we are able to do. We are able to make those decisions and react. And that is why it's so important for constituents to be involved in this journey with us so that they communicate with us about what the need is in the district. And hopefully we can, you know, reach out to them and give them tangible results. That's the goal.
And I'm glad you said that because a little later on in this interview, we're going to tell your constituents how they can get involved with you. But I don't want to divert our conversation.
Okay.
Because we're on a roll.
Yes, we are.
How have you had to prepare to serve as mayor pro tem? That's a lot of responsibility, brand new to a city council.
And it's an honor, right, to have that position. I was nominated by the mayor and then voted in by all of my fellow council members. And, you know, to me, it's just a great honor and privilege to be able to go to different events around the city and represent the mayor when he is unable to. It's just wonderful. I know District 1 so well because, like I mentioned, I knocked on doors. And now I have the opportunity to meet people where they are in their respective neighborhoods or events all over the city of El Paso. And I just want to continue to be able to serve the community.
That's great. I'm glad to hear it. So just for the record, I'm just curious, because I've obviously never served in public office. Is there any special training that you have to go through by the city staff in order to be prepared to serve in that capacity as mayor pro tem?
There's no specific training, but there is guidance. So, for example, I did, as mayor pro tem, the lighting of the starlight ceiling downtown. And they do guide me in terms of, you know, this is the agenda for the day. And, you know, these are maybe talking points that you should address and things like that. I'll know exactly who's there and what's expected of me. But there's no specific training for that. So I guess it just matters to be a people person and want to be in front of others and just really available.
that last point is very, very key, to be available and to enjoy being around the public. That's critical for that role. We just recently had the first ever for you and for several other people, State of the City address hosted by the Chamber, El Paso Chamber. Tell me about your experience with that State of the City address.
I think the Chamber did a great job in putting this together. One key component of the State of the City, I'll start with that, was the 1 hour before the actual event started, where we had live music out on the forum and just a moment to connect with others. There were so many people that attended the event. It is my understanding around 700 people. If we had just walked in and gotten on stage and said a few words, we would have missed the opportunity to really see and connect with whom was there. And I think that was key. We were able to just establish a lot of good relationships in that 1 hour before we went in. And then we had the opportunity to get up and talk a little bit about what our goals were for the district and show really our leadership style through those conversations. And then we had the opportunity to listen directly from the mayor and the direction he's trying to take the city. So I think overall, the feeling, the energy in the room was very positive, and people are very excited. I see a world of opportunity for El Paso, and I really sense that people feel the same thing. People are now thinking there's just so much more opportunity here, and we want to build on this momentum.
I agree with you, by the way, and I attended, and I would agree that the energy was exceptional. And for our audience's benefit, to my knowledge at least, this is the first State of the City address,
yes,
where the mayor shared the stage,
yes,
with all the members of council versus just being an address by the mayor to the constituents.
And that was his choice. He did not have to do that.
Yep, I agree.
We are very grateful that he did. And our city clerk was there because we had to hold a council meeting at the State of the City so that
that's
we
right,
wouldn't.
Yeah. Because you have a quorum.
That's exactly right.
A little side note, sort of a momentary sense of humor here.
Okay.
And for those of you who don't know Laura Prine, she's the city clerk. And she's an exceptional person.
Yes.
And as we were leaving the building after the event was over, our paths crossed. And I said to Laura, by the way, I thought you did the best job of anybody on that stage. And she looked at me like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, when you announced that there was no one signed up to speak, we were ready to give you a standing ovation.
Yes.
She's an exceptional employee.
She really is.
Yeah. So thank you for addressing that issue. So as we sort of narrow down towards the end of the interview, we talked about your constituents and the importance for them to feel comfortable reaching out to you,
yes,
to be engaged. How can they do that?
Okay. The best way to reach us is through email, the word district, and then the number one, at elpasotexas.gov, and Texas is spelled out, T-E-X-A-S. Or you could call us, 915-212-0001. If you are going to email us, it's best that you include pictures if there's something that you want to, you know, let us know about, because that way we can escalate it and direct it to the appropriate channels. You can also follow us on social media under Rep Chavez, Facebook, Instagram, I'm on Nextdoor, and I'm also on X.
Wow. Okay. And by the way, for the audience, because many people listening are not necessarily in District 1.
Yes.
So for your own edification, if you need to reach Representative Chavez, of course, it's District 1. But if you're in District 2 or District 8 or District 5, your way of reaching to them quickly, aside from social media, is by email, is the word district, and then the number, whichever district you're in, at elpasotexas.gov, G-O-V. And if you want to call them, it's 915, and the prefix is the same, 212, and then 000, and the number of your district, whether it's 1, 5, or 8. So it doesn't get any easier than that. So there's also no excuse for not reaching out, because I can speak to this firsthand through Representative Chavez, and I've dealt with other members of council as well, so I can say this of most of the ones I've dealt with. You and your staff are extremely responsive. And so if you need to speak to your city representative, whether it's on the telephone or via email, they will respond back to you very quickly. And so we want to encourage you to do that, because what that also does is instill and build trust in our government,
yes,
which has been sorely lacking. We all know that.
Yes.
Which then, this is my opportunity to pontificate, it's, then it will also encourage at the next election people to get out and vote, which we sadly, we lead the pack, unfortunately, in the wrong direction with the lowest percentage of voter turnout in our elections. So,
Richard, if I may also say that I've always promised that I would bring the best of what I learned in customer service to City Hall. I have two fantastic legislative aides, Teresa and Gladys, who work in my office, and we are very responsive. When I say I don't identify as a politician is because one thing that I want to be is accessible to people. I don't want people to feel like they're being left out of the conversation. And so please reach out to our office. We'd love to hear from you.
Thank you. So again, in case, because I know from having spoken with many of our listeners tell me that they listen to the show while they're out doing their Saturday afternoon errands. So as a benefit and courtesy to you, we don't want you trying to write something down or plug something into your cell phone while you're driving. We will repeat the information to you. To reach Representative Alejandro Chavez, District 1, you simply need to send an email to the word district and the number 1 at elpasotexas.gov or call the office at 915-212-0001 to reach their office. And I think you'll find that they'll be very responsive to your requests or to your comments, whatever they might be. And this show, as I'll mention in a moment, not only airs on KTEP, but shortly after airing, it's produced into a podcast and can be listened to on any of the platforms that you listen to. So we want to encourage you to do that. I also want to thank you both, the silent Teresa in the room. I want to thank you both for coming over and doing the show with us. And I offer to you, Representative Chavez, if you have some closing thoughts you want to share with our audience, we'd really appreciate it.
Definitely. If you go to my social media pages, you'll be able to see when my community meetings are taking place. I also have a very important event every month called Conversations with Ale, where I sit at a coffee shop. You can come up to me and ask me anything you'd like or share your concerns with me. These are just opportunities for people to be involved and be part of our civic responsibilities, right, that we need to take place in. I really encourage people to speak up and let us know what's on your mind.
So what social platforms are you on?
Facebook, Rep. Chavez, Instagram, Rep. Chavez, Nextdoor, and X. I'm on all the platforms.
That's great. That's
yes.
Great. Well, thank you for sharing all that information.
Thank you.
Now, I kind of pride myself on being aware of what's going on. I'm in a fault here because I did not know about Coffee with Ale.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit more about Coffee with Ale.
So I have it once a month in the morning starting at 8 a.m., usually from around 8 to 10, and I'm moving around to different coffee places around the district.
Within the district.
Yes. So the first one was at 210 on Sunset. This month's going to be at Masi Menos on Belvedere. I'm trying to meet people where they are so they don't have to travel so far to get to where I am. And I'll just keep moving around. If it's better for me to stay in one location, I will decide that going forward. But for now, I'm moving around.
I think this is great because not everybody, as you know,
yes,
can make the evening meetings that you have.
Yes.
You have those how often?
I have those also once a month.
Once a month.
And we have a lot of great things coming up. We're going to have a community cookout event the month of April for taxes. We're going to have several meetings so that we can help people deal with their property taxes. We're going to have a microchipping event. We're going to have...
You're not going to microchip your constituents?
No.
Okay.
Microchipping for pets. Yes. We have a lot of things that we've planned out. We had a retreat. Teresa, Gladys, and I had a retreat, and we planned out the whole year. We want to be very, very deliberate of what we're doing in El Paso and for our district.
So your Coffee with Ale...
Yes.
Is at what time again?
8 o'clock in the morning.
Until when?
Usually a couple of hours, 8
so
to
like
10.
So like 10 o'clock.
Yes.
That's great. So people can track that.
Yes.
And then attend. Because I know for me, Those, because your evening meetings are usually at 6 o'clock.
They're at 5:30, 5:30 to 7. And sometimes they're at the Doris Van Doren Library on Red, and sometimes they're at the Regional Command Center on Osborne.
Yeah. And again, people are working, they're commuting to get home from work. Those are sometimes a little harder to get to. Yeah. So it's nice that you give that additional option. And as I predict at the beginning, we always run out of time before we run out of subject matter. And today's no exception. So I want to thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard.
And our audience needs to be reminded sometimes that you're listening to KTEP. This is your local NPR station for the Southwest. We're a nonprofit radio station. That means that we rely on our members. And to become a member is pretty simple. If you're already a member, thank you for being a member. We appreciate and need your support. If you're not already a member, we'd like you to become one, and it's so easy. Go to our website, ktep.org, click on the donate button, and you will then be able to simply make a one-time contribution, however large or small, or as I am, a member that supports the station on a regular basis, like as in every month, then all you have to do is make a pledge on the website to either have it deducted from your bank account or charged to your credit card. And you'll never regret it, because this is the only place you can get unbiased information, news that's worthy of listening to. We thank you for listening to us this Saturday, and we wish you a very happy Saturday afternoon.
El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP. Views expressed by the host and guest don't necessarily reflect those of KTEP. For inquiries about our public affairs programming, email ktep@utep.edu. Richard Dayoub appears courtesy of Thunderbird Consulting. The producer and editor is Daisy Morales. The show is recorded at the Communication Department at the University of Texas at El Paso. To learn more about the program or to listen to past episodes, visit ktep.org.